stick your head out the door. I mean, what's coming my way? A pause. It'll be snowing again tomorrow, clear and cold until then.
Where would a bunch of bikers have hidden a key?
I don't know. I can't help you.
5 minutes to 4 in the afternoon. 12 hours to go. Reacher handed the phone back to Holland. The light from the window was dimming. The sun was way in the west, and the stone building was casting a long shadow. They set about searching the hut. Their last chance. Every mattress, every bed frame, the toilet tank, the floorboards, the walls, the light fixtures. They did it slowly and thoroughly, and got even slower and more thorough as they approached the end of the room and started running out of options. They found nothing. Peterson said,
"We could get a locksmith, maybe from Pier."
Reacher said, "A bank robber would be better, a safecracker. Maybe they've got one up at the prison."
"I can't believe they never used the place. It must have cost a fortune."
The defense budget was practically unlimited back then.
"I can't believe they couldn't find an alternative use for it.
The design was compromised somehow."
"Even so, somebody could have used it."
"Too landlocked for the Navy. We're close to the geographic center of the United States." Or so they said on the bus tour.
"The Marines could have used it for winter training."
"Not with South in the name of the state. Too chicken. The Marines would have insisted on North Dakota, or the North Pole."
"Maybe they didn't want to sleep underground.
Marines sleep where they're told and when."
"Actually, I heard they do their winter training near San Diego."
"I was in the Army," Reacher said. "Marine training? Makes no sense to me." They braved the cold again and took a last look at the stone building and its stubborn door. Then they walked back to the car and climbed in and drove away. 2 miles along the runway were battered planes were to have spilled ragged children. Then 8 miles on the old two-lane, up which no adult would have come to the rescue. The Cold War, a bad time. In retrospect, probably less dangerous than imagined. Some Soviet missiles were mere fictions. Some were painted tree trunks. Some were faulty. And the Soviets had psychologists, too, preparing reports in the Cyrillic alphabet about seven-year-olds of their own, and about tribalism, and fighting, and killing, and cannibalism. But at the time, things had seemed very real. Reacher had been 2 years old at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, in the Pacific. He had known nothing about it. But later his mother had told him how she and his father had calculated the southern drift of the poisoned wind. 2 weeks, they thought. There were guns in the house, and on the base there were corpsmen with pills. Reacher asked, "How accurate are your weather reports?" Peterson said,
"Usually pretty good."
"They're calling for snow again tomorrow."
"That sounds about right."
"Then someone's going to show up soon. They didn't plow that runway for nothing."
Far to the east, and a little to the south, a plane was landing on another long runway at Andrews Air Force Base in the state of Maryland. Not a large plane, a business jet, leased by the Army, assigned to an MP prisoner escort company. It was carrying 6 people, a pilot, a co-pilot, 3 prisoner escorts, and a prisoner. The prisoner was the 4th Infantry Captain from Fort Hood. He was in civilian clothes and was hobbled by standard restraint chains around his wrists and waist and ankles, all interconnected. The plane taxied, and the steps were lowered, and the prisoner was hustled down them to a car parked on the apron. He was put in the back seat. Waiting for him there was a woman officer in a Class A Army uniform, an MP major. She was a little above average height. She was slender. She had long, dark hair tied back.
tanned skin, deep brown eyes. She had intelligence and authority and youth and mischief in her face, all at the same time. She was wearing ribbons for a silver star and two purple hearts. There was no driver in the front of the car. The woman said,
"Good afternoon, Captain."
The captain didn't speak. The woman said,
"My name is Susan Turner. My rank is Major, and I command the 110th MP, and I'm handling your case. You and I are going to talk for a minute, and then you're going to get back on the plane, and you're either going to head back to Texas or straight over to Fort Leavenworth, one or the other. You understand?"
Her voice was warm. It was a little husky, a little breathy, a little intimate, all in her throat. It was the kind of voice that could tease out all kinds of confidences. The infantry captain knew it. He said, "I want a lawyer."
Susan Turner nodded. "You'll get one," she said. "You'll get plenty. Believe me, before long you're going to be completely up to your ass in lawyers. It's going to be like you wandered into a bar association convention with a $100 bill tied around your neck."
"You can't talk to me without a lawyer."
"That's not quite accurate. You don't have to say anything to me without a lawyer. I can talk to you all I want. See the difference?"
The guy said nothing.
"I have some bad news," Susan Turner said. "You're going to die. You know that, right? You are completely busted. You are more busted than the most busted person who ever lived. There's no way anyone can save you. That's exactly what you're going to hear from the lawyers, no matter how many you get. They're all going to say the same thing. You're going to be executed, and probably very soon. I won't give you false hope. You're a dead man, walking."
The guy said nothing. Turner said,
"Actually, you're a dead man sitting at this point, sitting in a car and listening to me, which you should do because you've got two very important choices coming up. The second is what you eat for your last meal. Steak and ice cream are the most popular picks. I don't know why. Not that I give a shit about dietary issues. It's your first choice I'm interested in. Want to guess what that is?"
The guy said nothing.
"Your first choice is what you go down for. Either Texas will kill you for killing your wife, or Leavenworth will kill you for betraying your country. I'll be frank with you. In my opinion, neither one does you much credit. But the Texas issue, maybe people will understand it a little bit. Combat stress, multiple tours of duty, all that kind of thing. All that post-traumatic stuff. Some people might even call you a kind of victim."
The guy said nothing.